Well, hello again. Hope everything's okay. Hope you can see it okay. Hope the picture is not too grainy. And hope this is working okay for you. And but welcome back. And I hope that that first installment was a challenge to you. And I want to continue the thought here together. And hope you're praying for your pastor and that God would give them journey mercies and that he'll come back to you safely. And I know that you miss him terribly. And I know that you're very much looking forward to meeting together as a group. Kind of stinks that we can't, doesn't it? And I know that yesterday, today's Monday for me, yesterday, which would have been the, I guess the 14th, I don't know what day it is. But anyway, yesterday we had our first service at Faith Baptist here in Greenville in person. We had two services. They were both the same. And so some met in the morning and some met in the evening. And you could sign up for which service you wanted to. And they sat people in every other row. And they sanitized the place between the services. And so I know they went through some extreme measures to make sure that it was safe as it possibly could be, and I know you look forward to that day. I just did a revival, flew home just a couple days ago in the Fresno, California area, in Hanford, if you're familiar with that area. And the churches there are not open, and so what we did was on Sunday morning, I preached to parked cars. It was kind of interesting. It was Mother's Day, and you know the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah is praising the Lord for God giving her a boy. And there, I think it's in verse 1, it says, "And he, being God, he is the horn of my salvation." So I said to the to all the park cards, "If you love your mother, you're married to a good woman, honk your horn." And they enjoyed that. And but anyway, so Sunday morning, we I preached from a platform in the parking lot. And then that night, I preached live on Facebook and did that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night also. Played some trumpet numbers and preach live to them. And so churches are doing various things to meet the demands, and it stretched us a little bit. I know more about recording now than I ever wanted to know, and but hopefully we can meet together here soon. I don't know what things are like in Connecticut, but I'm assuming that it's probably just as bad there as it is everywhere else. And but you be in prayer for your church and for each other. And I know that you look forward to being back together. Well, let's go ahead and review what we just did in the last message. And let's build on that here. I don't know if this is the nighttime for you. I don't know exactly when they were planning on showing this video. I'm assuming at night. And so if I say this evening, you'll understand why. Hopefully it's correct. But this evening, let's review what we did this morning. And remember what we established? We established the fact that we're all soldiers. We've been called to please him who had chosen us to be a soldier. Kind of a fascinating a dynamic if you think about it. We chose us to be soldiers. And then we talked about the fact that every soldier is trained to fight. We were in a fight. And I presented to you the option that one of the greatest enemies that you and I have is right here in our mind and the clothing that we wear. We're to put off and put on, and that's our principle all through the Bible. And so we established that this morning. And so if we could just start now where we left off, if I could invite you to go to your Bible and look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look with me again at verse 22. Let's just kind of walk our way through this, and I won't read the whole entire passage because I want to stop and editorialize, if that's okay with you. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says this, "That ye put off," and that word "put off" means to take off clothing, and this happens inside your mind, young people, children, adults, retirees, whoever you are. We are commanded, we're to bring into captivity, 2 Corinthians teaches us, we're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're responsible for our thought life. So that you put off, back to Ephesians, that you put off concerning the former conversation, being unsaved, the old man. Remember that term old man there is really referring to the flesh. This is always kind of revolutionary for some new Christians, but your flesh, this thing that you're looking at, is not going to heaven. It's got to change. This thing is corrupt. In fact, that's what the next word is. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Now, folks, this is not very flattering because we spend so much time caring for what the Bible calls a dirt pot, a clay pot. That word clay there in the King James really means dirt, earth. And you're looking at a dirt pot. I use as an illustration in another message the fact that recently I went to a website of a chemist who broke down all the elements that make up a human body. And if you wanted to go to the grocery store and buy all the stuff you need to make your body, it would cost you roughly about $160. Your body just isn't that valuable. My trumpet is worth more than that. The car I use to carry around this dirt pot is worth more than that. I'm standing in a house that's worth more than that. My iPad that I'm using to record this video is worth more than that. It's not very valuable. And so it's not very flattering. We don't want to hear that. But yet we're so concerned with my dirt pot looks better than your dirt pot. I dress my dirt pot better than you dress your. You know, it's kind of corny we can get. What we emphasize can really get sick sometimes. But we are so concerned. I read a statistic a couple of years ago that said that the average woman in America spends roughly about $5,000 a year on accessories and clothes and stuff to dress her dirt pot. And I said that in one service one time, and a woman leaned over to her husband and said, "Give me my $5,000. Well, don't do that, ladies. But anyway, my point is that we are so concerned with the outside. And there's nothing wrong with being concerned with the outside, because the outside is a manifestation of what's going on the inside. So we do have a testimony. What people see says something. So I don't mean to minimize that, but what I do want to do is just make sure that we don't overemphasize it. That's where I'm going on that. But anyway, this outside thing, this shell, what you're looking at, and what I wish I could see, I wish I could see you, is the flesh. It's called the old man. And the Bible says it's corrupt. Your body is corrupt. My body is corrupt. That word corrupt there is not very flattering. It's kind of ugly. Let me introduce it to you this way. The word corrupt there, have you ever worn a Band-Aid or maybe a cast? Maybe had a cast on for like a month, especially during the summer. Or maybe you wore a Band-Aid for a week. You kind of cut yourself really good with a knife and, you know, whatever, or you punched it with a nail. You know, Jake probably would do that a lot. And so you wear a Band-Aid. And if it's especially humid and warm and hot time of year, that Band-Aid, you know, if you peel it back, the skin underneath, it's kind of white, you know, it kind of gets kind of shrivelly. I'm sure you've seen that, especially you guys, just because you were curious. Just because you were just curious, did you ever do what I've done? I know that I wore a Band-Aid one time, and it would just on the tip of my finger right here, and I had it on there for about a week because it was a pretty severe cut. And I peeled the Band-Aid, somehow I bumped it or something, and it got peeled back a little bit, and I could see that flesh, and I was just curious. This is so man-like, isn't it? It's so guy-like. I smelled it. Now, I know some of you might be laughing, but did you ever do that? If I was there in person, I would ask for a show of hands, and I know even some of you women, if you were honest, would raise your hand. Yeah, well, my friend, when you smell it, or you got a cast off, and all that skin, and you could smell it. Did it smell good? Did it smell good? No. It was bad. It stunk. And you know why? Because that flesh is dying. It's dead flesh. It's going to replace itself. Your body completely replaces itself statistic I heard, I think every 7 years. That's going to replace itself. That is dead flesh. They tell me, to the authorities, that there's no more disgusting smell on the face of the earth than a decaying corpse. I have preached this passage all over. And on two different occasions in California, I had the police chief of the city in the congregation. One of those men came up to me after the service and he said, "Mike, I have men in my department who've been passed over for promotion because they refuse. They will not go into an apartment, a mobile home, a house where the occupant was elderly and passed away. They lived by themselves and nobody knew that they had passed away for weeks until the neighbors started complaining about the smell. I was preaching up at a church in Maine, and I used that illustration, and after the service was over, the pastor said, yeah, he said, Mike, we've experienced that. We had a neighbor that we didn't know had passed away, and we started smelling it. We had to call the police. He said, it is absolutely vile. My friend, the reason I'm being disgusting like that is because I can think of no better way to illustrate the word corrupt. The word corrupt literally means decay, defiled, rotting. And the Bible is teaching us that our flesh in the eyes of God and our flesh in your spiritual eyes, your new nature eyes, is disgusting. It's corrupt. It stinks. That's why God can't let it into heaven. It's got to be changed. But my friend, what is so insipid is that this flesh has a mind of its own. It's wired into your mind somehow where it's got cravings, it's got desires, and the flesh just wants to have its way and it wants to control your thought life, and you are now a soldier and commanded. You are ordered, Christian, to not let it have its way, to say no to the flesh. Oh, what a fight. What a fight. But let me go on with Ephesians 4, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is all happening inside here. This is the issue. What's going on inside here? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man. That word new is referring to your new nature, the spiritual aspect of you, your spiritual soul. You got an inside and you got an outside man. You got an inside man. That inside man's been changed. You got, it's now a new creature, a new nature, a new man, verse 24 says, which is created in righteousness and true or genuine holiness. Somebody who is genuinely holy, somebody who is genuinely right with God, is all about the inside. The inside tells you a whole lot more about where you're at in God's eyes than does your body. Your body is simply an outward manifestation of what's going on in here. When God's word is having its way here, it's going to affect the way that this flesh acts. That's what's being taught. Now, people, what is so interesting about the passage that I've taken you to is that this put off, put on principle happens in verses 22, 23, 24, but the passage, the whole context, starts in verse 17. And what Paul is going to do, starting in verse 17, verses 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, is he's going to tell you how the flesh always operates. Paul's kind of playing the role of a spy. He's kind of getting into the enemy country, into the enemy territory, and saying, watch out, here's what's going to happen. Here's how it works. Here's how the enemy works. And the enemy in this case being your flesh, my flesh. He said, watch out, here's the way that the flesh always operates. And folks, I very carefully use that word, always. This is always the direction of the flesh, of the body. This is always the arena that you are going to have a fight. Now, look at it with me, please. It's very, very graphic. But God wants us to know how it works. Had he not wanted us to know, he wouldn't have given us this rather graphic passage. It is important, Christian, for you and for me to understand how this enemy called the old man works. And so look at verse 17, would you please? Verse 17, where the Bible tells us, let me get my glasses, okay? Verse 17, I haven't memorized, but, you know, when you're preaching, often you kind of forget. Verse 17, it says this, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, okay? So Paul's saying, what I'm about to share with you is straight from God, straight from heaven. It's kind of straight from heaven. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, now that you're saved, walk And when the Bible uses the word walk, and you know this, don't you, Christians? When the Bible uses the word walk, it's always talking about your lifestyle, the way you live, your testimony, your behavior, the way you act, the way you think. That's always your walk, all right? So we're talking about the way you behave, all right? Now watch this. 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk or live. And how do they live? In the vanity or emptiness of their mind. Okay, oh, my friends, we just got a truckload of information. Let's dissect it. Paul's saying, now that you're saved, don't live like a Gentile. Now, that word Gentile comes from the Greek word that we get our word ethnic from. Ethnic. The Greek word is ethnos. Ethnic. Now, when we're talking about ethnics, what are we talking about? We're talking about races. My friend, in God's eyes, in the Word of God, there are only two races in the universe. Saved and unsaved. Pagans and redeemed. The word Gentile here is the word ethnos, and it's just really referring to anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. We would call them a pagan. They are absolutely not godly, not religious, not saved, not holy. So that's what we're talking about here. And so Paul is saying, God's saying through Paul, don't behave like somebody unsaved. My friends, can I remind us that as a Christian, God has called me and God has called you to have a lifestyle that's different than the world. You and I are antithetical. Our thesis, our proposition, our purpose is way different. It's opposite from the world. That's what this verse is saying. Don't you walk like a pagan. And how does a pagan walk? In the vanity of their mind. Now, that's not saying, Christian, listen carefully, it's not saying they're stupid. That's not saying when it says the vanity of their mind, it's not saying that they're dumb. What it is saying is that when it comes to religious information, religious conclusions, spirituality, spiritual issues, when it comes to everything spiritual, they don't get it, nor can they. They don't understand and they can't understand. When it comes to spiritual issues, their agenda, their mind, everything that they think is empty. That word empty means useless. They always come to the wrong conclusion. Have you ever heard of Discovery Channel? On Discovery Channel for a while, they advertised and had an ongoing program called Discovering God. No, In Search of God. That's what it was called. And it is narrated by a rich voice actor by the name of Morgan Freeman. And what he does evidently in that series is he goes from tribe, to culture, to different peoples here and there, all over the world, going to different countries and finding out how they worship a deity, how they worship what they call God. For the Muslims, that would be Allah. For the Buddhists, that would be Buddha. They go around and in this series, this TV series, they were looking at how they worship God and their traditions and why they did that. And the whole proposition, the whole purpose of the program was In Search of God. And folks, I never watched a single episode, but I can promise you they came to the wrong answer. They didn't find him. They can't find him. They don't understand him because the unsaved world always goes to the wrong place. They never go to the one place where they find out about him, and that would be the Bible. They always will come up with the wrong conclusion because they don't, like you, have a new nature. And so what Paul is telling us is that somebody unsaved, the whole unsaved world, always comes to the wrong conclusion. They just don't get it. They can't understand it. So, because they can't, this is always the natural progression. Verses 18 and 19. This is always the direction. Folks, always. Never is there an exception. They always go in this direction. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. Having the understanding, talking about the pagans, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What a statement. We are told that anybody unsaved, including your neighbor in Connecticut, anybody unsaved is always an alien. They are ignorant. Their understanding is darkened and they are blind. Now, if you go to door to door, and I would highly recommend it, I think that's a healthy exercise for every Christian to knock on doors and give out tracts. But if you go to somebody's door, you go to somebody's, maybe a friend of yours or a workmate, I would encourage you perhaps not to use that approach. Hey, buddy, you are blind, you are ignorant, you're an alien of God, and your understanding is darkened. That would probably not be the best approach. However, theologically, you're right. You would be right. You're giving them the truth. And the most loving thing you will ever do in your life, the most loving thing you will ever do in your life is give the truth. That's why Ephesians 4, earlier in the same chapter, says speaking the truth in love. You don't love somebody if you don't give them the truth. You would be right. They are their understanding is darkened. They are ignorant. They are blind. And they are aliens of God. And so because of that, verse 19, my friend, before you read it, it is always the direction. Somebody who's an alien, somebody who's ignorant, somebody whose understanding is darkened, somebody who is blind will always go in this direction. This is always the direction of a country whose God is not the Lord. Let's look at it. Verse 19. Who? Pagans. Who, being past feeling, they have no conscience. With what's about to happen, they have no conscience about it. They don't feel bad. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves, nobody made them, it's the natural direction of the flesh, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work, all uncleanness with greediness. That word greediness means they can't get enough of this. The unsaved, the pagan mind people cannot get enough of verse 19. Well, what has verse 19 just told you? Verse 19 has just told you that it is always the direction of an unsaved heart to go after lasciviousness. Now, in order to understand that verse, you need to understand the word lasciviousness, because that's probably the most important word in the verse. What is a lascivious heart? The word lasciviousness, folks, I think if you were to just take a step back and look at the whole grand scheme of things, when in America, on our media, we use the word sexy, what are we really saying? With that word, what are we really saying? The word sexy just means to have a fleshy appeal. And folks, I am selling ice to Eskimos right now. You already know all this. You live in a very sexualized environment. Everything is always about the sexual dynamic. Cars, groceries, toothpaste, deodorant. It's all about being sexy. I want to be appealing to the opposite sex. That's what the word sexy means. Folks, I cannot think again of a better definition of the word lasciviousness. It just means to be all about fulfilling the desires of my body. And what we're being told here, I know this is graphic, I know, but you got to know this, soldier. These are your marching orders. You got to know this. You are commanded to understand that when you were unsaved, this is always the direction of the flesh. It always goes down the road that we're going down right now with our media, with our entertainment industry, with our fashion. It's always all about the body. That's always the direction of an unsaved mind. When I was in third grade, my parents bought their first home there in Seattle, in the suburbs. And they bought a home that was in a subdivision called Camelot. I went to Camelot Elementary School. The very first year it was open. It was a brand new subdivision, huge, hundreds of homes. And they built this huge subdivision, all called Camelot, around a little, just a few acres, little farm, where this farmer had evidently said to these multi-million developers, he had said, "No, no, you may not have my land." And so they built this huge subdivision all around this little farm. Now, I've been back in recent years, and that farm is no longer there. There are houses there now. But back when I lived there, there was this farm right in the middle of our subdivision. My parents bought one of the homes right across the street from that farm. And so when I was sent to my room, which happened a whole lot, when I was sent to my room, I could rest my elbows up on the windowsill, and I just watched life on that farm. The reason I'm telling you this is because this farmer had kind of a unique collection. He didn't have a horse. I think he had a cow. He may have had some chickens. I don't remember. What I do remember is he had a whole gaggle of peacocks. Peacocks. Have you ever seen a peacock? They call the males peacocks. They call the females peahens. He had a whole gob of peahens and peacocks. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around peacocks, but I'm here to tell you what a stupid bird. And I remember as a third grader in the middle of the night, for no apparent reason, just in a nice, quiet part of the night, and all of a sudden you'd hear, which so badly wanted my dad's .22, could never find it. But those peacocks, the reason I'm telling you this is because I used to watch them, and they would strut, you know, they'd how birds walk, they'd strut around the room, you know, and pecking up, you know, garbage on the ground, you know, slugs and just eating anything. But and the peacocks have a fanny, forgive me for using the word, they have a fanny full of feathers that kind of just drag on the ground. However, every now and then, quite occasionally, to be honest with you, every now and then, one of those peacocks would decide, "Hey, I want to be married." And he would take his fanny full of feathers and you'd have this beautiful display of feathers, literally about this long. Nice, beautiful display of feathers, and he would strut. He'd strut around the yard, kind of in his mind thinking, no doubt, "Check me out. Check me out." And I guess God made the peahens to look at that and go, "Ooh, that's husband material if I've ever seen husband. Yes, please. I want some of that." I used to laugh. I used to think, how stupid. But then I went to my local shopping mall. I went to my local public high school. I turned on my television, and I see the same thing. Men wearing their shirts unbuttoned down to their navel with three chest hairs hanging out. Girls practically with nothing on, strutting their stuff. Folks, that's barnyard behavior. Barnyard. And that is always what God's trying to get you to understand, Christian. That is always the agenda, the direction, the purpose of your flesh, of the unsaved man, of the old man, to use a King James term. That's always the direction. But would you watch this, please? Look what he says in verse 20. Oh, I love verse 20. Look what verse 20 says. He says, verse 20, but, which means, on the other hand, unlike verses 17 through 19, let's flip the coin, Paul's saying. Let's look at the other side of the issue. But, well, I love this, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You know what Paul's saying there? Paul's saying, yeah, pagans are out there doing their thing, strutting their stuff. All about the barnyard behavior. Oh, they're all about the flesh. But not you. Not you, Christian. You know better. You know the truth. You've been taught by the Messiah. You've been taught by God through his word. You're not like that. You know better. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, as Peter said. You've had experience with the new nature. You and I know better. However, here's the problem. And here's where verse 22 in our text comes in. When we got saved, we didn't lose that pagan part. We didn't lose it. It's still here called the flesh, the old man. It's still alive and well and kicking with all of you. We've all got this issue. We've all got this problem. I've got this problem. But I know the Lord and I know the truth. And my commander and your commander has called you. He has ordered you and me. Fight. Fight that flesh. Fight it. If you're going to please me, the commander said, if you're going to please me, you need, as Paul said, crucify, kill, murder the flesh. Have nothing to do with that. Have nothing. In fact, he's going to say later on in the same chapter, let it not be once named among you. Actually, I think that's the beginning of chapter 5. That stuff shouldn't even be named among you. You are so pure. You're so clean. You've been so changed. It's not even named among you. Oh, may God help us to do that. So he says there in verse 24, could I get you to look there one more time in closing? Give me about 2 more minutes and I'll be done. So he says that she put on the new man. That's your job. That's my job. God doesn't do that for you. Oh, he gave you the new man. He's the one that created it. But my friend, you and I have 2 closets in our mind. There's a door right there. I hope you can probably see it. There's a closet inside there. Kind of a walk-in, big walk-in closet. And every one of you have got something like that in your mind. It's called the old man. And there are all kinds of clothes hanging in there. And everything in there is corrupt. It stinks. It makes you a lousy wife. It makes you a lousy friend. It makes you a lousy husband. It makes you a lousy employee. It robs you of joy. It robs you of peace. It always endeavors to kill, James 1 teaches it. But when you got saved, God put another closet in your mind called the new man closet. And all the clothing that hangs in that new man closet is pure. It smells good. It's fresh. It makes you a good husband, a good wife, a good friend, a good student, a good employee, a good neighbor. It always works joy and peace and contentment and the blessing of God. But my friend, the problem is we've got 2 closets if we're saved. In the truest sense of the word, every Christian is bipolar. We've got this old man thing pulling on us. We've got this new man thing pulling on us. Like one great missionary said to the American Indians, his name is David Brainerd. He said, Mr. Chief, you've got a white dog and a black dog inside you. The white dog wants to do right. The black dog wants to do evil. And the dog that wins is the dog you feed. The dog that wins is the dog you feed. What are you feeding on, young people? May I remind you that the world's music always feeds the black dog. You need to grow up. You need to feed yourself. You need to fight. Adults, what dog are you feeding? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you talking about? What do you think about? What a fight. What a fight. May God help us. Well, I've been going for 35 minutes here. I probably better wrap up. There's a lot more I'd love to say, but I hope you have found that challenging. I hope that maybe as you turn me off, that maybe you'll ponder this and meditate on it and make it a matter of prayer. Oh, God, help me. Lord, help me to be a good soldier. Isn't it interesting how many hymns are in our hymn book that have the theme of fight? Onward, Christian soldier, stand up for it. Am I a soldier of the cross? Oh, just so many hymns. And it's all about our winning that fight. And the battleground, your head, your mind. May God help us. God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity to take your time. I'm praying for your church. You be praying for it too also, all right? God bless you.